Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, sashatalks.com. I hope everyone kicked off the month on a blessed note, and I was thinking about what to talk about today. And I have covered a variation of the following topic, which had to do with our toolbox. Given the nature of how many changes have been unfolding in people's lives, things are happening in business, the market conditions, just out there in mainstream social culture, a few of the requests that came my way in the last several weeks made me reconsider that maybe I should do a refresher on how to upgrade your toolbox. And this has to do with our self and professional development and how to navigate change, whether you chose to change or the change was imposed upon you. We do know one thing in life, you gotta roll with it. And the only way you know how things play out, you gotta show up the next day and back. Keep in mind that all content is subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. I'm going to touch upon a few elements of what you have in your toolbox, whether you are aware of it or not. And if you don't have this in your metaphorical toolbox, it is never too late to go out and acquire and develop these characteristics because they are more critical in helping us survive. And we need to learn how to survive in order to thrive. This has nothing to do with what you were born into, what you were born without, it has nothing to do with your occupation, your title, how many resources you have or not. It has to do with celebrating the characteristics and helping you become a better version of yourself. One of the topics that I touch upon every now and then over the course of the last 16, 17 years through the lens of Sasha Talks has to do with our emotional health, our mental well-being, our physical well-being, emotional intelligence, especially in the last decade or so. This term gets thrown a lot around, and there are many ideologies, especially in self-development and in the business world, where you hear certain terms and ideologies and they get repackaged and they come back through a trend. But this is not a trend, this is more of a reality of what emotional intelligence is. It's important for all of us to be able to recognize, manage, and how we express our emotions. And how we express our emotions does overlap with communication, which I will touch upon briefly. It is very important that you are aware of what you are feeling. And most of the time, this can happen to any one of us, and we're probably guilty of it without even knowing it. There are times when people misidentify an emotion and attach it to a certain experience or a memory. And every time they have a deja vu or relive a similar experience, they think of that emotion. And the thing about emotion is that we absorb so much of energy out there in life, not only our own, but of people around us, our environment, things that happen, a reaction. Not every reaction is visual. Not every reaction is verbal. A reaction also can be a part of what you feel. And not everything in life deems a reaction. That's a whole nother conversation, which touches upon life wisdom. How do you express your emotions? How do you handle conflict? Are you able to connect with people in an authentic manner? How do you go about initiating relationship? Can you initiate a relationship, start a relationship, and then how do you nurture it? How do we determine which relationships host a good chance of longevity or not? Because when you're in a relationship with a person, a group of people, a family, it could be an organization, majority of relationships, whether people recognize it or not, they are contingent upon both parties putting in a certain degree of effort and work. When people connect authentically, some people do a better job than others. If you can't be honest with yourself, how are you going to be honest with people around you? And I always encourage people, figure out who you are. It's very important. You don't figure out who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what are your values, what are your negotiables, what are your non-negotiables. When you are interacting with life, particularly people, you are not going to know how to handle situations that come your way. You may not always bring yourself to the situation, but the situation may find you. And I know there's a quote out there to avoid the situation, but life doesn't work that black and white, and that's where we have to put an effort to learn. How can we become more self-aware as individuals? A high degree of self-awareness does not mean that you are immune from making any decisions or immune from having a bad day. It doesn't matter how great you are, you could be on your A game, but you are human and we are prone to error. Don't expect it to happen, but it will happen when you least expect it. Some people are so guarded that they don't live life. They don't give themselves permission to go out and fail. They don't give themselves permission to even be human at times. But self-awareness has to do with being mindful of who you are, your thoughts, your emotions, how you take care of your physical form, yourself, how you present yourself out in the world. And part of that is dictated by your relationship with emotions. Do you even allow yourself to feel any emotion? Some people are great at shutting it out. And if you do feel the emotions, do you identify the right emotions for the appropriate occasion? There are so many people who have developed emotional baggage in their brain, in their mind, in their body, which holds on to all of this because they have not learned how to process these emotions. And then they become a liability not only for themselves, but other people around them. Whether it is in a social environment, a familial environment, a professional environment, you could be a silent landmine walking around out in public, and no one knows whether this in person may potentially engage in verbal assault or play out their frustrations and concerns through other means, including behaviors. Now, empathy has to do with putting yourself in other people's shoes. Because I often speak dominantly in spaces that have to do with business and leadership and management and how to work with a group of talent, whether you inherited them or you went out and chose them, compassion has a time and place, and I say, excessive empathy removes accountability on part of the individual. So whether you're working with somebody, you're guiding them, you're mentoring them, you're managing them, or you're leading them, you still want to maintain a sense of humanity. You don't want to steal that from anybody. Everybody has a gift of free will. They will make a decision according to their understanding, whether they lean on their limited human understanding or they are open to receiving universal guidance to guide them. So self-awareness, empathy both play a part in developing your emotional intelligence. And I have talked about this in the prior for the next variable that I will share. Active listening. A very wise person shared with me, you hear with your ears, you listen with your heart. When people are talking, are you paying attention to them? Specifically, when it's a person talking to you, or are you just waiting for their mouth to stop so you could proceed with whatever you premeditated that will come out? It might not be premeditated, but it may be reactionary listening. And I will admit that if we all collectively did a better job listening, then the quality of our conversations and our day-to-day engagement would significantly improve. Think of how many misunderstandings could be shaved away. Productivity goes up, performance goes up, and I would like to believe that people's willingness to come together, to coexist can improve. And the next one that also plays a part into emotional intelligence, and I think it plays a very critical part because I've seen this on and off in different aspects of my life, coexisting with people and even in professional workspaces. Emotional regulation. If you cannot regulate your emotion, that is a red flag. With the type of work that I do in commercial spaces, when clients seek me out and they already are off the charts with the lack of emotional regulation, I know that there's at least an 80% chance that I will not be working with them. You need to learn how to regulate your emotions. You are not the only human being among a planet of billions of people. And if you don't know how to learn how to regulate, it is time to start learning. It doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. This could benefit you in many different aspects of life, not only from your relationships, but from your financial health, your emotional health, your professional well-being, and you don't even need to have a career or a job. Your provision, there are a handful of people I've seen who have gambled away their well-being, the quality of life, relationships, their provisions, because they lacked emotional regulation and they did not know there's a time and place for how you conduct yourself. This has nothing to do with political correctness. This has to do with living and being a human being and learning how to navigate through life and different spaces. I'm going to leave the EI on that note. The emotions also touch upon communications. Say what you mean what you say, whether you're asking for help, you're setting boundaries, or you are expressing your ideas. It is critical that clear communication can benefit you. When we communicate in a clear manner, it changes everything. Whether you are writing, whether you're speaking, you're on the phone, you're on a text message, you're on a video call, you are in person. How we communicate serves as a very strong layer and foundation of building trust and collaboration. When I pay attention in professional spaces of how people communicate, I realize there are many missed opportunities among the employees, the talent pool, the collaborators for building trust. There's a time and place for people to have a situational awareness of the type of rhetoric that you can get away with in good fun and being sociable. And then there's a type of rhetoric which is recommended to build trust. There's a time and place when you're conducting business, and you have to approach it as not everyone will know where you're coming from, what your backstory is. Some people are very literal, and I have worked with them once upon a time. And then there are those that speak in metaphors, hyperboles. How do you read interviews messages? It also comes with life experience, but you don't have to be a perfect communicator, but you have to be an engaged communicator to know if you don't speak up, no one will know that you need something. Whether you need some guidance, whether you need an answer, whether you need direction, you have to learn how to gauge into being assertive. And there's a difference between being assertive and aggressive. You could be assertive in your communication and be very productive and have a positive influence on your audience, whether that audience is your team, your direct report, it could be an organization, it could be an industry, it could be something very local, learning how to communicate and being an effective communicator in your role in your family, if you are managing, co-managing your family. When people become aggressive in their communication, it also triggers a side effect of reactive emotion. And when things get heightened, people mentally and emotionally close down. You do not want that. In order for communication to be successful, it has to navigate. It needs to flow like a river. The moment the communication stops, it means either it is the end of that collaboration, something happened. Now, whether it needs attention or not, that is open to interpretation based off context. There's different types of communication, and part of that can be developed by learning how to listen. And when you listen to understand, it makes a huge difference versus when you listen to just respond. Because when you listen to understand, that grants you an opportunity to expand upon the communication and develop a potential relationship with the other communicator. But when you are only listening to respond, and there are cases where it is okay to do that, there's a time and place, and you might have to revisit that discussion again because there was lack of understanding where you allow the message in that allows you to reflect. And with communication comes clarity and honesty. People are honest to the degree that they can be honest with themselves. That doesn't mean we give them a pass if they are in charge of delivering messages. It could be a role that they're working and they have to learn how to be transparent to the degree it is kosher in their role and be honest. Because when you're not honest and you're trusted with a responsibility, it becomes a liability over time. And small, unfortunate things, they snowball into major problems. I've seen that in different aspects of business. I've seen that comparable social setting. You don't want that. So when you pair emotional intelligence with communication, it can become a powerful force to help you become not only a better person who functions better in the world, but it makes you a better performer, a better producer, a better friend, a better family member. Next, let's move on when we are upgrading our toolbox. Keep in mind as we continue living and learning, there are going to be things that we were taught as children, and then as we embrace adulthood, we start reflecting upon certain principles or ideas that no longer align with who we are or who we've become. That is where I encourage people to reflect upon your core value and your purpose. People often freeze in their path because they think they have to discover their purpose and then act upon living. Go out, live your life, and you will discover your purpose. Don't wait for the answer to drop out of the sky. Go out, live your life, do your best, meet different people, try new things, take healthy risks. I'm not saying go out and be foolish. And through all of those experiences, somehow in a weird manner, when you don't expect, the dot may connect. And this is coming from somebody whose life was not exactly all linear. I've had all different types of experiences, from the blessings to the lessons. And I know what comfort is, but I also know what a drought looks like, feels like, and what you live through. So go out and live life. Now, values act like a compass when things get a little bit challenging in life, or they might be confusing. Values are like that tree. It always remains there. No matter how many times you walk past it, you drive by it, whenever you revisit it, it is one thing that is stationary. And sure, over time, your values may change for better or worse. I don't know. But I recommend people to reflect upon what are some values that you hold dear that are not negotiable. They are a part of who you are. It runs through you, through the blood that flows through you. It lives in your heart. It's a part of you. It's an imprint, and you're proud of it. Here's one thing I encourage people to upgrade in their toolbox if they haven't. Learn how to problem solve. There are many things that play out in life day to day, on a local level, on a global level. And while half of the things are not pertinent to you, it's really important that you know how to solve problems in your day-to-day life. Problems are not a bad word. It is not a bad thing. Problems also deliver opportunities. Opportunities to do more, to be better, to make more money, to be of service. Problems open and a door of possibilities. But there's a thing where I go, there are good problems to have, good problems that are going to be challenges. And then there are just some bad problems that should close doors. But we're human and we can't always prevent a problem from happening. And how one person coins a problem might be not a problem for another person. It comes down to their threshold for how they manage conflict, how they go about making a choice that they are part of the solution and not part of the problem. And learning how to be flexible in life, it makes a huge difference. I believe that a lot of people compromise their sanity and they go nuts because they're not able to, or they choose not to adapt to the flow of life. Some people will not move forward until they get what they want on their terms, their way. And they may not realize that they are relying so much on their limited human understanding that there's a greater plan at play and you are a part of life. And the moment you start closing up and making these universal demands, which most likely most people are not paying attention to, they'll just disengage you. They might not say it to your face, but sooner or later, they will disengage you. Become part of the solution. Even if it's a problem that you are a part of, it's never too late to turn it around and be part of the solution. If it's a problem that you inherited, things happen. You don't always get to pick what's on the menu. Learn how to navigate through it. Don't wait for the solution to come and then act upon it. Sometimes you have to just navigate it and then the solution presents itself. It's a critical element because life will not always go as planned. And in a way, it's a good thing because if people always got what they wanted based off what they thought they needed, that would be a very unfortunate life to live. Leave room for the lesson. Nothing bad has to happen in order for you to acquire a lesson. Keep that in mind. You have to learn how to acquire perspective. And one of the ways that you could acquire it is by going out living life. You don't know what bad is until you know what good is, and you won't appreciate the good until you know what the unfortunate is. Learn how to be flexible with how things unfold. Once upon a time, when I would come across a lot of requests where people just wanted to know when things are going to happen, I tell them it has less to do with the timing on the clock and it has to do more with readiness. If you're not ready, it doesn't matter what time it will happen. You're not ready. So if it's not ready, you're not ready. And the outcome is premature. Whatever you're seeking, you're not going to cross paths. And if you do cross paths, it will be short-lived. So learn how to adapt to change. And when people use the word waiting, a mature way of looking at it is you're not going to be holding your breath as you wait. Waiting has to do with what are you doing with your time and your energy while a potential outcome manifests. Majority of people do not use their time wisely. So waiting itself is not the answer. Do something with your time. Be productive. Put value in your life. Put value in the life of those around you. And while you're problem solving, it also offers an opportunity to tap into your creativity. Creativity doesn't always have to do with arts and crafts. Creativity has to do with coming up with solutions while thinking outside of the box. Like I mentioned earlier, not everything in life is linear. There's a time and place for that type of thinking, which we all benefit from, and there's a time and place where we benefit from the alternative form of thinking. Because if everybody thought the same way, felt the same way, spoke the same way, we would be a very dull society. And majority of the advances that we benefit from out there, I don't believe they would exist. So just recapping the problem-solving arena, focus on having a growth mindset. Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to how were you yesterday. Are you better than yesterday? Are you better than a week ago, a month ago, a year ago? I know for sure that I'm significantly better than I was a year ago or a few months ago. Are you moving in the right direction? I'm not saying just look for movement. You could be moving left and right, but you're not moving forward. I encourage you to move forward through progress. So don't mistake movement for progress. And when you make decisions, I encourage you to look at the pros and the cons. Don't just go based off what feels right, and don't just go based off what looks right or sounds right. Always keep in mind the information is only as credible as the source, and people are human. Next, I have touched upon this on and off in many different forms, self-discipline and habits. If you have any goal or any desire to make progress and you want to make it sustainable, you need to focus on self-discipline. Build a routine that aligns with your goals. Come up with a plan, put it into practice. It doesn't have to be in stone. And pay attention to what is working out well, what you could do better. Maybe some of the things that you had in your plan you don't need to do. You could swap it out with things that do matter more to help you achieve your goal. Change is okay, but you have to begin with a foundation of a routine. And coming up with a routine is one thing. People talk a lot about planning. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, but then they have nothing to show for it because they never put it in practice. You have to be consistent at it, or you will not know whether you're cut out for it or not. And I often talk about start out in baby steps. It's great to be ambitious and get all excited and let your emotions override common sense. And common sense is not enough. We do need to put in more effort and engage in good sense. Learn how to initiate a goal. It could be a great goal, But make sure you're doing it for the right reason. It will definitely help you on the days where you might feel a lull, and it is perfectly fine, but you have to show up. You can't talk about it. You have to show up and get to work and then make the adjustments as needed. Now, a lot of these things rely upon what resides within you or things that are within you, but you haven't tapped into it. Community. Having a sense of community and a support system makes a huge difference because we humans were meant to coexist among a community. Human beings need connection, a human connection, not just talking to a screen all day long. Having people to turn to. Do you have friends? Do you have mentors? Do you have a family or community? And I am aware that everybody has a form of connection or lack of connection for different reasons. But find a healthy way of working through your stress, having an outlet to share your thought, and make sure that you're not just pushing yourself to the point of exhaustion, but you are actually putting in time to celebrate. Humans are meant to be around humans. And I know now and then I joke around and I go, I cannot stand human beings because I'm in the people business. But humans are very critical to your development. And a wise person that I worked with once upon a time would say, an idle mind is a dangerous mind. So make sure you don't get stuck in your mind for too long. Go out, enjoy, learn how to enjoy your own company. If you don't enjoy your own company, how will you enjoy the company of other people? Work with your comfort level, but even within that comfort level, it is healthy to go outside of your comfort zone to challenge different types of social settings. And it has nothing to do with what stage of life you're at. There are people who are my clients, believe it or not. I have clients in their 80s, and they also come from business, but they also come from the day-to-day civilian life. And it's wonderful to see people that are thriving in different stages of life. And one thing that most of them have in common is putting human connection as a priority in their day-to-day endeavors. Moving along, we talked about the emotional health, mental and physical health. Do not discount the value of your body. If you are blessed to have a sound and able body, nurture it, take care of it, do your best not to treat it like a machine. You can't build a great life without caring for your mental health and your physical health. And keep in mind, you do need to sleep. It is a moment of time where your body gets to heal. If you are in your waking state the whole time and you're eating right and you're working out and you're doing all the things that you believe that are necessary for your body, don't forget, your body also needs to heal, or all of that effort will not get reflected in the long run. You are what you think. Pay attention to what you listen to, what you allow your body to see, what you allow your body to feel, where you bring your body to. What type of environments do you expose your body to? You don't always get to control people that may surround you, but you do get to control to a degree of where you're presenting yourself. And it doesn't always have to be in the physical reality. It could be in the virtual reality. You're always exchanging energy and you're also absorbing a lot. And if you don't pay attention to who you're around, what you're around, where you are, and how you're going about living your life, how will you know what needs course correction? And sometimes it might just mean you need to remove yourself from those environments, because it is not contributing in a healthy manner in the long run. And I am aware there are people who go out and work and you don't always get to control many variables around you, but you have to keep in mind, you cannot become a victim of your circumstances. Moving along, touching briefly, I've done a few shows very isolated on this topic as a monologue, but also with professional guests. Pay attention to your financial literacy. At least when I was growing up, they did not have very overt courses and classes that taught that. They would touch upon it, but it wasn't taught to the degree that it is very much needed in today's age. Money is not everything, but it is a very critical tool that could help you make a living and build a life. There's a difference between making a living and earning a living. Money is a tool. It could be a blessing in your life or it could be a curse. It will be dictated by your beliefs about money, how you make your money, what you do with it, and part of that is also dictated by your value. It could buy you comfort, it does not buy long-term happiness. It could buy you distractions, making you believe that you're going to be happy, but it has a function in life. It is a healthy, positive function. There's a lot of beliefs out there, misconceptions, stereotypes about belief, about money. And it is unfortunate because some people are able to show how it is a blessing and apply it in their life as a blessing. And just because people have the tool doesn't mean that they have to, quote unquote, show it off to prove a point about what they believe in. Knowing how to manage it, save it, can grant you freedom. Now, I was going to say, money can deliver freedom for some people, but money can also turn people into prisoners because I recall making an appearance many years ago, almost a decade ago, and I talked about the concept of money. It was touched upon in one of the books that I had written. And I said, are you walking the dog or is the dog walking you? The moment you become a prisoner to money, your life becomes very insular. How you think, how you behave, how you make decisions turns into some warped catch-22, and you need to figure out how to get out of that web. You have to figure it out. Don't wait for other people. And there are healthy ways of developing and upgrading your toolbox by learning how to. This is so cliche. Some people need it, and then there's some people who are very well off without doing it. Budgeting, the basics of financial literacy, understanding what an emergency fund is, especially in the times of where there's so much uncertainty that people are open to taking on different opportunities to invest, to apply their skill sets. They're helping themselves, learning how to invest. And remember, I was going to do a whole talk on investment, but not the financial investment, how you invest in yourself and how it plays a role in your goal setting. For those who have a bit of bandwidth, I encourage you to go out and research, proper research, not a Google research, on if you feel you could benefit from any form of financial literacy, where to begin. That I leave to your judgment. I always tell people, information is created by the people for the people. Don't go based off what worked for your neighbor or your friend. Go based off legitimate sources. What you may need may not be what your friend needs. And people are very well-meaning, but well-meaning people does not dictate that they have the answer for you. You have to figure that out. And finally, as we start to wrap things up, I want you to become and remain a curious student of life. The world is always changing. There are always opportunities that we could seek. Sometimes you don't know where to begin, but maybe the opportunity begins with you. I never thought while growing up, especially during my teenage years, that one day I would be the one creating opportunities for other people. But it is also a blessing to know that you could go from seeking opportunities and also over time develop yourself to creating opportunities for other people and learning how to pay it forward. Keep in mind the energy in the cycle of life is cyclical. So whatever goes up may go down, and it comes down to people coming together and learning how to work and prosper. Stay curious, ask questions. Ask questions about yourself. Ask questions about life. Asking questions is part of the education process of growing. Asking questions is not a bad thing. I am aware that in some environments, people that I cross paths with different walks of life, regardless of their characteristics and attribute, they may have grown up in an environment where asking questions was discouraged. What you were told, you accept. And if you don't accept it, it might be considered blasphemy. And it could be on regarding any genre or topic. What we don't know, but once we do know, what are we going to do about it? So leave that space for yourself to grow in your heart, in your mind, as a person, because you can only become a better version of yourself. Now, there are people out there who do regress with time. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focusing on those who want to figure out, I have a need. I'm dealing with new challenges. I have new goals that I want to accomplish. Where do I begin? And I want you to know that you begin with yourself. We are conditioned to focus on the outside world, that other people have the answer. You have to go somewhere. You need to have the money. You need to have the resources. You need to have all of that before you do anything with your life. And I will say, I came from a upbringing of humble beginnings, so I know what a drought looks like. And I knew that the only way I would move forward would be coming up with making a decision first, that I'm going to take on the challenges and the goals, and then I'm going to figure it out. And that has made a huge difference because no one can take away your experience. No one can take away your knowledge. And that is more priceless than just relying on third-party resources. They have their value, but you have to begin with yourself, or you will always be tying your worth and the quality of your life to things and people that could vanish. They could vaporize. Remember, we come into the world alone and we leave the world alone. And finally, no matter who you are, where you are listening, tuning in from, or whatever you do with your life, make some room for self-compassion. That is an area of life where I would say I was guilty of for quite a long time, to serve other people but not be as compassionate towards myself. We are human. We're going to have great days, good days, bad days, some days where you go, why did I get out of bed? But the fact that you got out of bed and went to bat, I salute you. You're going to fail. You're going to thrive. You're going to celebrate. And make sure that among all of those moments that there's some kindness towards yourself, because I think at least a third of the time, whether you're a man or a woman out there, when we're not kind to ourselves, it starts to bleed into how we think, how we feel, how we perceive things and people. And sometimes the strong criticism of the world gets reflected back at us because it tells us who we are, not what is going on around us. So keep that in mind. Pay attention to your thoughts. Do your best with regulating your emotions. Emotions are a good thing, but if they're not processed and regulated well, it could cost you some great things in life. I'm going to leave you on that note. Have a wonderful and blessed week.